A special treat, our guest is Beth Courtney. She's president and CEO of Louisiana Public Broadcasting. She's held that post since 1985 and is a two-time former vice chair of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Beth Courtney's relevance to the topic of funding for public broadcasting is certainly appropriate at this time because President Trump has proposed zeroing out the funding that comes from the government for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, $445 million a year. That includes money for both NPR and for public broadcasting. So once again, if you'd like to join the conversation, we welcome your input. 297-5633 is the local number in Baton Rouge, and outside the area, 877-217-5757. Beth Courtney, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be here with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And you've been down this road before. There have certainly been threats to cut funding for CPB before, but is this one different than what has happened before? Too early to tell.
Well, I have been down this road before, and actually we were looking through our archives, and we have posted on our digital media archives testimony from 1995, Jim, and I sent that up to the CPB folks and PBS and said, this is what happened when CBS Sunday Morning did a story in 95 on, and they featured Louisiana. And I was on Crossfire as well with William F. Buckley in 95. And so the president of PBS wrote me back and said, good grief. It does seem like things are coming around again. But the interesting thing right now, I guess, is that the American people overwhelmingly support federal funding for public television. And we have a recent poll that has come out, and several polls, Hart Research and also from Rasmussen that President Trump uses as well, that says 73% of voters oppose eliminating federal funding for public television, and GOP voters oppose eliminating federal funding for public television by almost a 2-to-1 margin. So even Trump supporters think it's a good investment, and we have a lot of data that shows that. So we are optimistic because we think we're doing what the American public wants us to do. And now in this age of communication, you know, Jim, what we didn't have before was all sorts of social media and people talking to one another and different ways of communicating. But I guess I would say to you, I feel very energized by the fact that public media in general, and that's public radio and public television, really are enjoying enormous support right now.
It's a case that appears to be ready to be made to Congress, but how willing will a Republican Congress, the GOP controlling both chambers, how acceptable do you think it'll be when you make the case?
I was up in Washington recently, and I was visiting with some of our delegation. They were Republican. I visited with Senator Cassidy, he certainly understands what we do in education. He is very involved in his grandchild's, I think, upbringing, and he said to me that his two-year-old grandson was trying to watch something on Netflix, and he kept saying to him, he kept saying Super Y, Super Y. That's one of our programs. And he said, you certainly have a viewer in our household. And I think that Garrett Graves certainly knows what we're doing as well. And in the whole question of there are three big areas that we are intensely interested in Louisiana, and the first one being certainly in times of disaster, communication across the state of Louisiana. And certainly Garrett Graves is concerned with that, homeland security. We have a statewide infrastructure, and certainly we've had enough emergencies. We've proven what we do during storms, be they Gustav, Ike, or the recent August floods that we've had in our area, and we connect the whole state. And that is a very vital and important job that we have, and Garrett certainly understands that as well. So I think in Congressman Abraham from Monroe, we had a great visit, and he was quite supportive as well. So the thing that we in public broadcasting, both radio and TV, are worried about a little bit is a big omnibus bill that would just sort of cut everything at once rather than teasing out individual programs. And I think standing on our own, we would probably be all right.
Your number again is 297-5633 locally, 225-297-5633, and outside the area toll-free, 877-217-5757. You can also send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.com. www.thecountyofbath.org. Beth Courtney is our guest, who for the last 32 years has been president and CEO of Louisiana Public Broadcasting, and she has certainly detailed how she's been down this path before. But the federal appropriation for CPB, $445 million, that's almost half $1 billion. But in the context of a budget that is around $4 trillion, it truly is pennies on the dollar. Why is this a convenient target?
$1.35 for every person in the country, $1.35. It's very small.
Per year.
I think we've always been that. I've talked to Newt Gingrich actually about it in his Contract with America when he talked about it. And it's been in those think tanks ever since then. I think that symbolically, this president has said he's not happy with much of the media, and so certainly we sort of glom on to this. But I think our role is entirely different in this United States of America, and I think it will be shown that it will be supportive over this period of time. I was surprised when I testified in 95, the people who were on the opposite side, and they were about specific maybe programs that people didn't like. And, you know, in this free country we have, the United States of America, Jim, mm-hmm. they're always going to find something. Maybe they don't like one of your shows, or they don't like something we've aired, you know. But on the other hand, I actually think that we're going to be okay in the long haul. You know, in President Bush's budget for 8 years, he put in zero for CPB. And so Congress came back and restored funding.
So all 8 years of President Bush, he, like President Trump, proposed $0.
That's correct.
Now, how many of those years were there both Republican majorities in the House and Senate? There weren't many, were there?
There weren't many.
So that makes it a bit of a challenge, because traditionally the GOP is looking for ways to cut the budget, and quite often, rightly or wrongly, probably wrongly, but there is this perception that public broadcasting is a wildly left-leaning hangout. Is that fair?
Well, that is not fair. it's a misunderstanding, certainly, of what PBS is. I've been doing this a very long time, and I will tell you, I've had conversations with many people through the years about our various and sundry programs, and I say, Louisiana Public Broadcasting is your public television network, and we care what you think, and we really do listen to the people of Louisiana. We aren't a national service coming in. We are local stations around the country. So Mississippi sounds sort of like Mississippi. We have some things in common, but those are the big drama programs. But in Louisiana, we just finished doing Attakapa, mm-hmm. and Zachary Richard always tells me I pronounce it wrong. It's because I'm from Shreveport, not Lafayette. But Attakapa, a wonderful, wonderful story of the Cajun people. And that's the sort of thing only we do at Louisiana Public Broadcasting, so we're local.
Mm-hmm. It is a treasure. I think people in Louisiana know the importance of Louisiana Public Broadcasting, and also those who listen to their local NPR affiliate know that stations like WRKF do an exceptional job and have a place in the community. But then there are others, Beth, the purists, who say, look, there should just be no public broadcasting at all, that this is an outdated mode. By the way, the CPB is about to celebrate its 50th anniversary. But what do you say about those who say this is a concept that has gone by the wayside?
Well, I certainly say that just because you have a bookstore doesn't mean you shouldn't have a public library. Just because you have a Disney World doesn't mean you shouldn't have Breck. You shouldn't have public parks. I think our mission is a public mission. It's one that says we are using these airwaves for the public good, and we're not trying to generate revenue. There's nothing the matter with commercial broadcasters. I'm very good friends with many of them, in fact, married to a former one. But I would say to you that we have a different mission. And in this rich, wonderful world that we have, we need it. And if we don't have CPB funding, they'll still have public media. They'll still have NPR and PBS in Chicago and New York and San Francisco. We are the ones who would suffer, frankly.
Is there any way to get by on contributions alone?
Well, that's what I don't think. We have so many children who really need our children's programming. We have so many children who live below the poverty level, and they deserve to have access to these wonderful programs that teach them their letters and numbers.
Beth Courtney is the guest, the president and CEO of Louisiana Public Broadcasting, Charlotte in Opelousas. Good afternoon, good morning, Charlotte. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to ask my question. It is, when can we expect to see Consuela Mack's program return to the air as well as Bob Scully's program?
Okay, that's an interesting one.
To be perfectly truthful, I'll have to look into it for you.
Okay, thank you, Charlotte. And once again, 877-217-5757, Paul in Opelousas. Hello, Paul. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Beth. Just a quick question. Do you think that technology, such as I'm calling on my cell phone right now, will affect public broadcasting and public radio more than Congress will, meaning the ability to go and listen to any radio station anywhere and any TV program at any time in the world, you know, especially YouTube? Do you think that's having a bigger effect than Congress pulling back money for public support? Thank you very much.
What a smart question, because that's exactly what I think about almost every day. You know, we live in a totally different environment, and I still have to focus on mission, you know. And one of the things that I would say is we've been aware of that and thinking about how that might have an effect on us. And that's why PBS programs are on Roku and devices, you know, that you can plug in, and we call it over the top. That's why we have invested a lot of time and effort into PBS Kids, which are learning games, which people can watch on, I mean, which they can, children can access on their iPads. And until you see a four-year-old child work out a Curious George program that shows them how to sound out letters, and it's just amazing. So we are spending every day thinking about changes, absolutely, in how you're doing what you're doing and how you're receiving what you're doing. For instance, we have this program called Passport, which is people can access all of our past programs, and we have a lot of shows up online. But what I'm focusing on right now is creating programs for Louisiana about our history, our culture, our people. And I feel very fortunate because in Louisiana, we have so many wonderful stories. Ken Burns says, in the word history, there's another word, and the word is story. And I couldn't agree more that we have such rich stories to tell that no matter what platform they are on, that we will be important.
297-5633, your number for Beth Courtney, president of Louisiana Public Broadcasting. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Ms. Courtney. I think that it's really crazy not to support public broadcasting. I think that the way you run the station, it's like the station of record, the way that the New York Times is the paper of record. So keep up the good work, and you have our support. Congratulations, Jim.
Thank you, Phil. Stuart in North Baton Rouge. Stuart, good morning. You're on the air with Beth Courtney.
Jim, good morning to you and Mrs. Courtney.
Good morning.
Mrs. Courtney, I'm Stephen Stewart. My father is Henry. I think you guys worked together.
Yes, indeed, we did.
Absolutely. He would be on the line with me, but I just dropped he and my mom off on a plane, so they can't chat with you. However, my question is, what measures might the organization be implementing to attempt to circumvent termination if, in fact, federal funding is cut?
Well, we are always planning for the future, and that's why we have built up we have a foundation in which we have planned gifts have been given to us for the long term. We have a permanent endowment, and that's one of the joys of being able to be someplace for 41 years. We think about the future, and we've been working very hard to make sure that if major gifts or people write us into their will, it's put into a permanent endowment. So we're thinking ahead on things. But on the other hand, every day I see the need for public media even more. Remember all the last elections when we had debates? We can't run ads. We are non-commercial, so we don't have any political ads, but we do try and do debates. And we're one of the areas where we believe civic dialogue is important in a democracy. That's why we do Public Square. And for 13 years, we've been talking about really tough topics, and we believe that people can disagree without being disagreeable. And yet, if we don't talk to one another, we'll never address any of the problems in our city or state. So I think every day that we need public media even more than we did when we first began.
Now, of the $445 million we're talking about in the annual budget for CPB, only $69.3 million goes to local public radio stations. That doesn't sound like a whole lot of money. And in the overall context, you mentioned $1.35. Well, that's probably about 17, 18 cents of the $1.35. But that money is vital to the stability of these local stations. Can a case be made that this is an important entity that needs to be protected and preserved?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the joys of me observing NPR for this period of time and when I was on the CPB board was looking at how their journalistic efforts, how a lot of people are closing bureaus around the country, around the world, and NPR has stepped up to that, address that issue. And I would say it is a challenge, but I think they were doing admirably. And I, you know, we're all in a little family together because public media really, as the gentleman indicated earlier, you know, whatever platform you're on, radio now has pictures on, TV has podcasts. We're all trying to use all these tools for education and enlightenment because you can have drivel on your phone or, as sometimes I like to look at, cat pictures on your Facebook page. We have two cats. But on the other hand, wouldn't it be great if you actually had wonderful information? And that's what we're trying to convey.
And you have been on the ground floor of a lot of innovations regarding public broadcasting, public television. Ken Burns, for example.
Yes, indeed.
He cut his teeth here, didn't he?
Ken did. And they try and claim him in WIDA, Washington, D.C., but he was with us when he did his one of his first productions, Brooklyn Bridge, and was absolutely the first. But then he did Huey Long with us, and he's come back again and again to do wonderful series of documentaries. With us, he was in jazz, baseball. I would say, though, that coming in the fall is going to be a really tough subject that's going to resonate with a lot of people, and certainly in our generation, and that is he is doing an 18-part series on the Vietnam War, and that is going to be probably tough to watch but important to watch. I know his World War II series was terribly important, and I think, you know, when you watch some of these programs, you come away thinking, I learned something. I mean, I've watched Nova, the string theory program, about three times, and maybe I'm going to learn string theory at one point. But I think that when you watch what we're doing, you come away learning something. Now, sometimes you want to relax and be sort of mindless in what you're doing, and I do that too. But if I look out, and I was thinking of some stories, I was thinking of Paul Groves, who is an opera singer from Lake Charles, Louisiana. He's been at the Metropolitan, and he's now at LSU, I think, this semester. He's doing some work. He told me the first time he ever heard or saw opera was on LPB in Lake Charles, and it inspired him. So every day I hear stories somebody would say to me, you know, I grew up watching Mr. Rogers. I grew up learning to be kind to people. And that's the joy of knowing how we have had an impact on people's lives.
Well, Thursday, you have a major event. This is a tradition each year. It's the Legends event, and some special people will be appropriately honored.
Yes, indeed. We are so looking forward to it. The Legends event, we've had a pleasure of identifying people who are legends in their fields of endeavor, and from all across the country. So this year on Thursday evening, and you could still come if you would like, at the Old State Capitol, we are honoring Dee Dee Riley, who is such a wonderful, wonderful woman who's on her, in her own right. Her whole family is so outstanding, but she's written children's books and is in a talk about a philanthropist of a great enthusiasm and energy. We're honoring Emmett Stevenson and Tony, who were from Bastrop, Louisiana, who have really done extraordinary things for LSU.
I'm Jim Engster, and Beth Courtney is our guest for another segment, the president of Louisiana Public Broadcasting for 32 years, and she has been through some bruising battles with the federal government regarding funding, which is occasionally at stake. And President Trump, in his wisdom, has proposed a budget that zeroes out the $445 million a year for CPB's operating budget. What do you think? 297-5633 is your Baton Rouge number, 877-217-5757 outside the area, and talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address for Beth Courtney and our remaining time with her. There are reports, Beth, that contributions have actually gone up in the last few weeks and months. Is that happening?
Well, that's certainly true around the country, but for us, we have something else going on, and that they've gone down slightly in this last pledge drive, because if you have a flood that affects over 100,000 people, I think that you have people focused necessarily on building back their homes and restoring schools, and we played a part in that, and I want to thank the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for giving us a grant that allowed us to share books and materials for flooded preschools. And that's another wonderful thing. We could call on them and said, you know, we have all of these schools that were under, you know, water, and we have people whose homes, they've lost their homes, they're rebuilding them. So we've seen some slight decline this last drive, but not terrible.
877-217-5757 for Beth Courtney, and for those who treasure the attributes of public broadcasting, those could be in danger under the new configuration with President Trump, who is looking for ways to cut the budget and has decided that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is one of the places to go. Now, he is not unique. It happened with President Bush, and it happened with a Republican Congress led by Newt Gingrich back in 1994 when he was proposing to slice and dice CPB. But Beth Courtney, after a while, people get weary and probably think that here we go again. They're crying wolf, but in the end, it'll be settled. Is that a given?
Oh, I don't think that's necessarily a given. Things are a lot of things are on the table, things that we care about. We care about the arts. We care about the humanities. We care about American Corps. I mean, there are a lot of the environment, the State Department. I guess I feel pretty good in the fact that public television is rated as an excellent or good value for their tax dollars by 72% of voters, on par with highways, roads, and bridges. And among GOP voters, public TV received higher taxpayer value ratings than unemployment benefits, federal aid to college students, agriculture subsidies, environmental protection, and foreign aid. So those kind of that kind of data makes you feel good. On the other hand, I don't believe pollsters necessarily. Somebody was talking about a day and age in which things are different. Well, I think we communicate in different ways today. And so I think those of us who believe in things need to let our congressmen know how we feel. We're not lobbying for anything. We are simply saying it is a good value. We're trying to make it be an efficient, effective use of your tax dollars. And also, we have so many generous contributors. People voluntarily give us. What a business model. I always say relying on the kindness of strangers.
Jane and Baker, good morning, Jane. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I just wanted to know, and I think she just mentioned it.
What is your question?
I wanted to know what could citizens do reference to the proposed cut as citizens, because I feel like...
You feel like?
Well, okay. I would say that on the WRKF Public Radio website, there are some links. I think there's some links on the LPB website that allow you to join in with fellow citizens. You can... say what you feel to approach your congressman. You can sign petitions. I think there were 600,000 signatures at last count on a support public media petition. I would want people to tell their representatives how they feel. I listen to people who don't like things we do, and I listen to people who say they love what we do, and we care about what you think. It's really a public media.
Jane, you dropped on us there for
a
moment. Could you finish your thought, please?
No, I was saying that I felt that National Public Radio is one of the best and most informative ways of receiving information. It's beneficial for students and all citizens, and I truly love it. I actually learned about Rebecca Mercer and her contribution to the Trump campaign, and I
All right. Well, thank you so much. Doug on Highland. Good morning, Doug. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Ms. Courtney was making a good point about the money involved. For most of the things she's talked about, as well as public broadcasting, in the context of the federal budget, it's a minuscule amount of money in the context of a $1 trillion budget. This isn't even a rounding error. I mean, but what we get for that money is, in terms of public benefits, is so much larger, and it's for that very reason, I think, that some of the folks in Congress are hostile to it. A lot of this is about revenge. They've wanted to do this for how many years? 30, you know? So we do need to contact them. Apparently, they don't have anything better to do, and the president made this a priority. Apparently, he doesn't have anything better to do. So folks definitely need to let them hear about it.
Thank you, Doug.
Jim, one of the things I would say is that, you know, we have a service that some of your listeners may not be familiar with unless they're connected to the classroom, but we have a direct connection with 40,000 teachers in Louisiana where we online have online services that they use in their classrooms every day. And that's one of the things that we feel very important about. It's a very important service, and that is supported by the education community. And we do it for public, private, parochial, and homeschoolers. And I think every day, how wonderful if we could even do more for early childhood. We have some camps that we do at LPB, and if you see four-year-olds react to these well-researched programs that we're doing, it's really extraordinary, and I think we can make a difference in the lives of our young people in Louisiana. And I just every day wish we could do even more.
Well, since you started with Louisiana Public Broadcasting, with Louisiana the state we're in 1976, how has public broadcasting evolved over that time?
Well, when I began, we were in the basement of now imploded education building downtown in the corner, and we dragged in chairs from that had been abandoned by other offices. And I look back at people can see on our media archives some of our earliest shows. I mean, they're up there, and we found that people have been, you know, researching topics, and they've gone back to some of our earliest shows. And I say sometimes it's very embarrassing, Jim, because I'm wearing giant glasses. You know, I mean, it's definitely of that era. But now we have tools that can allow us to do so much more technically. But I think at the heart of it, we're still trying to share information with people. The world has changed. We don't have as many reporters at the Capitol. I certainly know that. We used to have AP, UPI. Gannett right. had every newspaper, had bureaus. I shared an office with the Shreveport Times when I was doing radio reporting for KWKH. Shreveport Times, Shreveport Journal, the Times-Picayune, the State's Item, the Advocate. We had a huge Capitol Press Corps, and that's changed. So I think it's very important for us to be still monitoring what we're doing. And, you know, we have citizen reporters now. We have blogs online, and we have things you can read on Twitter and Facebook. But sometimes we don't know who's behind some of this. And some of these people are paid to say what they're saying, but you wouldn't know. So what we are very transparent about everything that we are doing.
All right. Well, when you started, there was a governor named Edwin Edwards. He's a memorable character, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. And isn't it interesting we have an Edwards again? It really is amazing that that over that period of time, when I was covering Edwin Edwards, I couldn't believe somebody was as entertaining. I would talk to people from Ohio or Iowa, and they'd say, "You cover politics, and that's exciting." I would go, "Yes, in Louisiana, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting profession."
Well, I don't think there'll ever be another like Edwin Edwards, who's 4 months away from being 90 years old. His wife is 38, by the way. Beth Courtney, Young Heroes.
Young Heroes. Yes, absolutely. Every year, I get so excited about this period of time. We honor Louisiana legends, and we were talking about them earlier. And that's on Thursday night. Legends, we didn't mention Juan Pierre from Alexandria, baseball pitcher, Jim Moncas, who is extraordinary as well. And so these are the adults who are the legends, you know, in what we're doing. But then we also, Young Heroes, we honor at least 8 young people, and this year for the first time we have twins, who have overcome difficulties and have done well in school and have helped their fellow students and their communities. What an inspiration. It's a project with the Rotary Club of Baton Rouge, and I am just privileged to be a part of it.
Okay, we're short on time, but Claudia on Segan, you are on Talk Louisiana. Please be brief, Claudia.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you all for all you've done over the years. My children have grown up with LPB, and there's always been something I can watch on it, and I would be heartbroken if it got terminated for whatever reason. And I do intend to call my congressman, and I think everybody should.
Thank you, Claudia. I think that's an appropriate way to end the conversation with Beth, but there's
thank
work
you.
To be done.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's been a pleasure to be with you, and I hope we're around for many years to come.
I'm sure you will be.